You'll turn in your Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 6. We're going to read a familiar passage. We read this morning in our adult Bible class. Jesus calming the storm and some lessons that we can learn there at the end. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that we can spend some time in God's Word this evening to encourage us. We're going to read Mark 6, 45 through 52. As you're turning over there, you might recall that maybe in high school, or if you had a college class or some sort of a educational class, where the material was cumulative. What you were taught at the beginning of the class, you had to remember the next week and the next week, and it kept building on that material. What you learned last week, you had to apply this week. And what you learned this week, you're going to have to apply it next week. And if you forget what's going on earlier, you're not able to do what's going on in the present. Maybe you had a class like that. Life is also like that. We're supposed to be learning things and then applying them later in our life. When we're young, we don't maybe do that as well. As we get older, hopefully we do better with that. And as parents, we're trying to teach our kids that life is cumulative. You learn from things and you add that in with life experiences that come up that are new. Hopefully you can apply to the new things what you've learned in the older things. In a similar way, we're going to see here that Jesus wants his disciples to engage in cumulative learning. He wants them to learn from past events and apply them to present situations. And he wants us to do that today. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to talk about this in the class this morning, and I appreciate all the comments that were made. I agree with all of those things that were made, and Jeff did a great job with this passage. I want to return specifically this evening to verse 52, not because it wasn't covered this morning, it was covered well, but just simply to give us more opportunity to make some applications for today. I'm concerned maybe that some Christians somewhere, hopefully not among us here this evening, but some would not be applying what they've learned about Jesus Christ to their lives today. And they're struggling with things and they're bothered by things. Some of them might be leaving Christ in some way, and they're not applying some things about Jesus that they could to help them. And so it's good for us to talk about this passage today to make sure that we are fully utilizing Jesus in our life. Why do we study the life of Christ? Why do you read the Gospels? Why do you learn about Jesus Christ? Hopefully, it is to learn something about Jesus to apply in my life today, in the daily situations that I'm going through, marriage, home and family, work, friends, relationship. We've got some young people going back to school here in a few weeks. Am I handling my daily situations with Jesus in mind, and Jesus can actually help me with this here in 2024, we're coming up on 2025? Or is it purely just, well, that stuff was in the past? Jesus wants his followers, including us today, to utilize him in the present situation. One reason I asked for Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 to be read, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Do we believe that? It's talking about his nature and his character and what he can do. He's the same. And so when we read about Jesus in the Gospels, he's the same on December the 29th, 2024. No, Chris, you don't understand. That was 2,000 years ago. No, he's the same. And so, when I'm facing a situation, I need to be saying, this Jesus that I'm reading about, what can he do for me today? I need to utilize him today. And that's really the bottom line of our lesson. And I hope that we will grow closer to realizing I need to use this same Jesus. One other introductory comment. This is in the book of Mark. This is not found in Matthew, Luke, or John. This is found in Mark. And the tradition involving Mark is that he wrote to Christians in Rome. There are different indications of that. One indication is that Mark often defines Aramaic words. It would be more of a Roman audience. They would need to know what those Aramaic words meant. Another indication is about a half a dozen times in the book of Mark, he uses a Latin word instead of a Greek word, which is interesting. Of course, the Romans spoke Latin. If that is the case, if Mark is writing to a Roman audience a little bit before AD 70, you're talking about Christians during the time of Nero who are, there's some persecution under Nero and then it gets worse under Domitian. They're getting this book in Rome and they're reading about Jesus. What are they supposed to get from that? What kind of help are they supposed to get? Is it just purely information and kind of some information that happened 30 years ago or so in this distant place called Palestine and there was this guy named Jesus? Or are they supposed to get more from that? They're supposed to get more from that. And if Christians are being persecuted in Rome, they're supposed to get, this Jesus can help me. Think about that. With that in mind, let's read Mark chapter 6, a very familiar passage of Jesus walking on the water. This is Mark's account. Mark 6:45, and straightway, or immediately, he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself sends the multitude away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when even was come, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And seeing them distressed in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and he would have passed by them. But they, when they saw him walking on the sea, supposed that it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But he straightway spake with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves, for they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened. I want to center in on this statement in verse 52. They're amazed. They're amazed at what happened. They were amazed that the wind immediately ceased when Jesus came up into the boat. But it gave the reason for their amazement. They understood not concerning the loaves. And of course, you know that to be just earlier in the chapter, in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 down through 44, the feeding of the 5,000. This evening, I want us to look at this statement, they understood not concerning the loaves. And I want us to learn this evening the importance of this lesson that Jesus is trying to teach, and that is that knowledge is cumulative, and what we learn about Jesus on one occasion were to apply in all situations in life. Carlin and I were having lunch today and he said, did you see what happened to CEI Bookstore? And I'm like, no. And he showed me a tornado came through this, was it 2:30 this morning? Somewhere along about that time in Athens. It wiped out the bookstore. It's completely wiped out. It's wiped out. Those brethren that work in there, and they're great brethren, Daniel works with them closely. Some of us know them very closely. What are those brethren going to do tomorrow? What are they going to do? What are they doing right now? What job are they going to go to tomorrow? What are they going to do with that? Those who have invested in that, those who have invested in that building and all of that inventory and all that, what are they going to do with their investment loss? What do you do? How do you handle that? How do you deal with that? And if you said, well, I need Jesus for that, what would you get from Him? What kind of help are you going to get? There are things that happen from day to day that are real. There are situations that are real. These men are in a boat, and the storm is real, and it's a real problem. We have real issues that come up from day to day. We're supposed to apply what we've learned about Jesus in the past to a tornado that goes through Athens, Alabama on December the 29th. We're supposed to do that. That's how we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to fall apart and just quit and have spiritual problems. We're supposed to, okay, such and such happened today. There's a storm on the Sea of Galilee. I'm supposed to apply what I've learned in the past to today. Those brethren, I believe, will make it through, and they are good, strong brethren. And other brethren will come to their aid. But it's because of our knowledge of Christ and how we're willing to apply that on a daily basis. Jesus had just taught and fed the 5,000 earlier in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 45, He constrained His disciples to enter into the boat. And they faced these contrary winds. The parallel account is in Matthew 14. And this, of course, is the account where Peter asked Jesus to come out on the water, and He does, and so forth. And then in John 6. Notice in verse 45, this is also important. Jesus constrained His disciples to enter into the boat. You don't think Jesus knew what was about to happen? Jesus constrained them to get into the boat, and Jesus is going to help in any situation that comes up therein. Jesus says to His men, I want you to do such and such. You don't think He's going to help them when He wants them to do such and such? He's going to be there for them in whatever comes up. So what does Mark 6:52 mean? And there were good comments this morning in class. This appears to be out of place. It appears to be strange. What do the loaves, verse 52, and the feeding of the 5,000, what do they have to do with their situation on the lake? That would be like me in class saying to the teacher, wait a minute, what does this have to do with today? And they're thinking, well, I taught this last week and it applies to today. What's going on the lake applies, and we need to be taking what happened the day before and applying it to today. That's the lesson in a nutshell that is to be learned from this. And so when a tornado comes through Athens, Alabama, or something else comes up in our life today, we need to be applying what we've learned in the past. The Hebrew writer is writing to Christians who are in danger of falling away from Christ. That's the whole book of Hebrews, apostasy, falling away from Christ. And at the end, there's one last appeal there. Jesus is the same. Don't leave Him. He's the same. When Mark makes this comment, for they understood not concerning the loaves, what did they not understand? Well, we don't know what bread is. That's not it. They knew it was a miracle. They knew it was 5,000 plus. They know what a miracle is. They know the miraculous multiplying of loaves and fishes. They know all of that. So it's not that. What was it that they did not understand? They didn't understand that Jesus' power is unlimited. It extends to all situations they find themselves in. Jesus can multiply bread, and if a storm comes up, Jesus can handle that too. Jesus is not limited in His power. It's not a case-by-case situation where Jesus does something, and then on the next day, I don't learn anything from that. I've got to take it all over again. Jesus, can you help me on the water? No. Jesus can handle any situation. And they have to learn that if He can multiply bread, He can calm a storm. And there's no reason to be amazed. Verse 51, they were amazed. Why? Why? He had just fed 5,000. Why are you amazed? And that's what I want us to see this evening, brethren, that all situations that we find ourselves in today, in 2024, we need to be thinking, Jesus can help me with this. Like I said earlier, I'm concerned sometimes that there might be some brethren who are trying to face things in the current situation, and they're not relying upon what they've learned about Jesus in the Gospels and bringing it all the way forward to today. They're not doing that. And so, why is it that some brethren are stressed and anxious and depressed and they've got all kinds of problems in their life and they're fretful about this and that and how am I going to take care of this? And some are quitting the Lord and some are going back out into the world. They're trying to handle some marriage problem on their own or some work problem. And some of you have to face work problems from time to time. Are we facing that with calling upon Jesus for help or not? And some aren't. We're not studying the life of Christ just as some historical information, but we're supposed to bring it forward and apply it to our situations today. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, and I believe Jeff brought this up this morning, and I appreciate him bringing up this passage because it applies also. Turn forward a couple of chapters to Mark chapter 8. Jesus brings up the same thing again to help us understand what's going on here. In Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, it's the feeding of the 4,000 this time. After the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark chapter 8, look at verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question Him, seeking of Him a sign or a miracle from heaven, trying Him or testing Him. They didn't want to believe Him. They just wanted to test Him. And He sighed deeply in His spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek a sign or a miracle? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And He left them, and again entering into the boat, departed to the other side. And they forgot to take bread. This is physically, that the men, the apostles, forgot to take something to eat. Mark 8:14. And they had not in the boat with them more than one loaf. And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And if you look at the parallel account in Mark 16, He's talking about the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. And they reasoned with one another, saying, we have no bread. So they hear Jesus say, beware of the leaven. Okay, we don't have anything to eat, so we need to be careful about what? The physical leaven that comes from the Pharisees. Be careful not to buy bread from them. Be careful not to get our bread from them the next time we stop somewhere. They're thinking along those physical lines. And Jesus, perceiving it, said unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Do not you yet perceive, neither understand? Have ye your hearts hardened? Having eyes, see you not, and having ears, hear you not, and do you not remember? Underscore that in your Bible. Do you not remember? That's the point. I've done some things just in the previous past. So we're in a situation now where we don't have bread. Don't you think I could take care of that if I needed to? Remember, let's look back to the previous past. Well, what does he bring up? Verse 19, when I break the five loaves among the 5,000, that's Mark chapter 6, how many baskets full of broken pieces took ye up? They said to him, 12. And when the seven among the 4,000, that's Mark chapter 8, 1 through 10, how many baskets of broken pieces took ye up? And they said to him, 7. And he said unto them, do you not yet understand? Understand what? That when something happens in the past, I took care of that. We can apply that to the present situation. I don't need to look at Jesus as these singular, separate events. I need to look at them as whatever Jesus has done in the past, He can help me with my current situation. And Jesus has the power to do that. Back now to Mark chapter 6. After the feeding of the 5,000 and this storm on the lake, in John's account, John brings in the next day they came around the Sea of Galilee and they followed him and they wanted more bread and they came to make him a king. They didn't understand. And I think Jeff brought this up this morning in class. They didn't understand the mission of the kingdom, the spiritual nature of the kingdom, and they're coming to make him a physical king. So you got some people who are seeing Jesus as a physical king. You've got his disciples who they're not putting two and two together and being cumulative in their understanding. And so all of these people have more learning that they need to do. But Jesus is wanting his disciples to put two and two together. What happened the day before, we can apply it to today. And I understand their situation. They did not live in an age of miracle workers. There's not a lot of people around working miracles. And Jesus is the one in their midst working miracles, and it's going to take them a while to learn that he can do all kinds of things. He has power over all kinds of situations. He has power over distance. He doesn't even have to be where the person is. He can heal them. He did that with the centurion's son. Time is not a problem. Distance is not a problem. Nature is not a problem. He had turned water into wine. Here he's miraculously made loaves and fishes. Anything that comes up, Jesus has power over nature in every regard. And it's taking them time to realize that he can apply it to this situation with the storm. We have the whole picture of Jesus. And so they didn't have that. And it's taking them a while to learn, but we have that. We have the complete story from beginning to end. We have all of those miracles. We have all of the effects of those miracles. We have the whole story of Jesus. And yet today, some people will do the same thing. They will not remember Mark chapter 8, 21. Do you not remember? And so it's taking them time to learn. They did not know that Jesus had power in good times, the loaves and the fishes, and in bad times. Brethren, when we study the life of Christ, I want us to understand that the same powerful Jesus exists today, 2,000 years later, and He can help us. And we don't need, like some are doing, to either quit the Lord or turn to other things for help. Some people will turn to drugs. Some people will turn to other kinds of things for help. They're having problems in life. Let's not be amazed that Jesus could help us today. Let's not be amazed. They were supposed to infer or conclude that Jesus' power demonstrated the day before. The day before, when He had fed the 5,000. Could still help them today on the lake. Not only that, but He had sent them onto the lake. He's the one that put them there. He's the one that constrained them and made them go there. He's definitely going to help them. He's not going to send us out into the fray and then not give us the help. And what a great thing that is, that in all situations, Jesus can help us. Their hearts were hardened. Mark 6:52 says, because their heart was hardened. In what way? They weren't disobedient. They weren't unbelieving. They were slow to perceive Jesus' power can be used in all situations. That anything that comes up, Jesus can handle that. They were slow to learn not to compartmentalize Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. He worked a miracle yesterday and He fed 5,000. But that was yesterday. No. It extends all the way through. And then later, when they have no bread and they're wondering about that, it extends all the way through to that and any other situation. They were slow to perceive Jesus' power. They did not quickly learn that Jesus' power was available in all situations. And to utilize that and to trust in that and to have faith in that. And that's what we need to learn today. Why be troubled and afraid? Jesus had already calmed a storm. Come back with me to Mark chapter 4. I believe Jeff brought this up in class as well. Come back to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Already Jesus had calmed a storm. So why are you amazed in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus calmed a storm? He had already done that. Mark 4:35, on that day when He was come, He said unto them, let us go over to the other side. And leaving the multitude, they take Him with them, even as He was in a boat, and other boats were with Him. And there ariseth a great storm on the wind, a storm of wind, and the waves that beat into the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling. And He Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, teacher, carest thou not that we perish? We sing a song in our songbook based upon that. And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you fearful? Have you not yet faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They had already recognized that. But then the next time that it comes up, we need to learn to apply the same Jesus to the same situation. Bob mentioned this morning in class, a comment that I had not thought of, and that is that Jesus, from time to time, worked miracles that were the same miracles. Two calming of the storms on the sea, and healing more than one leper, and healing more of this kind of disease or that kind of disease, casting out more than one demon, raising more than one person, we find. These multiple miracles of the same type that give confirmation to who He is. Jesus is not a one and done. Jesus is not a one-off where He kind of happened to get it right on that one. Let's see if He can get it right on the next one. Of course He's going to get it right. And the disciples are having to learn that. And so we need to learn that today. We need to be saying, every time there's a situation that we're having trouble with, we need to be saying, oh, that's fine. And I'm not suggesting that we be irresponsible and do nothing. I'm talking about, we need to say, I'm fine in the sense of trusting the Lord. He's handled these situations before. He can help me with mine. Why be troubled and afraid? Jesus already performed a variety of miracles under a variety of circumstances leading up to Mark chapter 6, of whom the disciples were witnesses. Go back with me to Mark chapter 1. Just briefly survey, just if you were to stay within the book of Mark. And again, think about this from the original standpoint. The original readers, if they are Christians in Rome, they're just reading about Jesus. They get one book, it's called Mark. They get one gospel, and they're reading about the life of Jesus. What are they supposed to get from that book or that reading? Jesus' power over all situations in life, and He can help me here in Rome. You go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 21. The healing of this man with an unclean spirit. You come to chapter 2 and verse 1, the paralytic or the man with palsy lowered down through the roof. You come to chapter 3, the man with the withered hand. You come to chapter 3, verse 10. There were other many that had plagues and unclean spirits. You come to chapter 5 and verse 1, the healing of the Gadarene demoniac. In chapter 5, verse 25, the woman with an issue of blood. You come on up to chapter 6, you've got the feeding of the 5,000, and then this Jesus walking on the water. If you were an original recipient of this book, either reading it or hearing it read, you're just hearing this one after another, you're thinking, wow, Jesus can handle any situation in life. That's how we need to be reading it. There's absolutely no reason to doubt today, 2,000 years later. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Pentecostals, I remember years ago, that they would always bring up that passage and they would try to prove by that, well, they're still tongue speaking today. That's not the context. It's His nature, His character is the same. He does not change. It's like Malachi 3:8, I am the Lord, I change not. His nature and character and power is the same. We don't have modern day miracles. That's another issue. That's a misapplication of that passage. It's talking about His character and His nature and who He is. And He can help us in any circumstance and situation today. Why be troubled and afraid? Or why be amazed? Jesus had already done these things. And the apostles had been witnesses to these things. Jesus, as God in the flesh, is unlimited in power and can provide whatever is needed in whatever circumstance. That is the lesson. And we need to remember back. Mark 8:18. Do you not remember? We got to remember back and then apply it to today. It's cumulative. It's like that class in school. What were the miracles of Jesus supposed to produce in the disciples? What was the purpose of that? In John chapter 20, we're told that it was to produce faith in Him. The signs that are written, these things that are written that you may believe. And that believing, you may have life in His name. Believe what? Just that there is Jesus? No, we're to believe not only that He is, but who He is and what He can do. Peter brings up Jesus' miracles in the very first sermon on Pentecost. This Jesus of Nazareth, a mighty man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know. Why do we have all these miracles? To demonstrate who He is. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Lord. Lord over all things. All nature, all circumstances, all situations. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Peter brings up the miracles of Jesus in preaching to Cornelius and his household. Acts 10:36. The word which he sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's interesting. You're speaking that to a Roman centurion. Oh, I thought Caesar was Lord. No, Jesus is Lord of all. That saying you yourselves know, which was published throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. With power. Only in certain situations? No, in all situations. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses, we apostles are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom also they slew, hanging him on the tree. And he continues preaching about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why bring these things up? To tell an audience about who this man is and how I need to have faith in him and he can still help me. In John 1, Jesus is Creator. Sometimes when we talk about Jesus, I think we, maybe in our minds, we're thinking past tense. When you read John 1, 1 through 3, that Jesus is Creator of all things, is that only in the past tense, or is he still Creator of all things? He's still Creator of all things. Do you think the one who made water and lakes and wind can handle that? Of course. Jesus is God with us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. The Word was God, and God was manifest in the flesh. God in the flesh is in this boat, is in this boat. And Jesus is wanting his apostles to learn that I'm with you and I can handle this. Remember back to the 4,000 and the 5,000. There's no reason to be amazed and lacking faith. Jesus is deity. He's God in the flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then come with me to Colossians 1:15. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, or literally hold together. It's all held together by Jesus. This physical world and everything that Christ made God. Genesis 1:1. God plans everything, designs everything, and John 1 uses Jesus to create all things. And everything holds together through him. So no matter what situation comes up, and those good brethren down in Athens, Alabama are going to be perfectly fine. They're going to be perfectly fine. There's going to be some cleanup. There's some mess you got to clean up. I'm not downplaying that. But I'm talking about how we handle things emotionally and spiritually. They're going to be fine. If they call upon the Creator of the universe. Jesus, Hebrews 1:3, I love this passage. Who, Jesus, being the effulgence of his glory, God's glory, the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things, and all things consist in him. This entire universe is being held together by Jesus. And one day, He's going to say, that's it. 2 Peter 3:10, that's it. The earth and the works are going to be burned up. But until then, He's going to uphold all things. That's amazing. And at a word, it'll all fall apart. And He will usher in the new heavens and new earth. We read these passages, don't think of them as just past tense. He is currently these things. He is the I Am. And so, the miracles were just simply a manifestation of His divine power, and He wanted His apostles to learn in all situations. He's there to help them. So as we close, I want us to make it practical for us today. And I think it's especially good for us today, some 2,000 years later. If the apostles are struggling putting two and two together one day apart, can you imagine today, some 2,000 years later, there could be some who are just, oh yeah, I remember reading about the life of Christ. No, I've got to put two and two together and make sure that Jesus is a part of my life today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:23. The grace of Jesus. He can bless me with grace and peace today. There's so many people that are not at peace. There are so many people that need the grace of Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful passage there in 1 Corinthians 16. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grace and blessing and favor and peace. We need that today. And He's there to give it to you. We need His strength. We talked about that this morning. We talked about power and strength this morning. And when Paul was wrestling with this physical malady, this thorn in the flesh, he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And the verse before, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When we have physical weaknesses and problems, that's when Christ can really shine in us. That's when His power can really work in us. Have you ever seen somebody that was sickly, but they had a strong faith in Christ? I've seen that. Some physical problem, some physical ailment. A good friend of mine, Tom Keyes, passed away a few years ago with MS. He and I grew up in high school together. Great guy. When MS started taking over his body, it started at the bottom and just worked its way up. So he lost leg movement, and then he lost functions in the middle, and then eventually he lost his whole life. It just kept creeping up his spinal cord. But he never lost his power of Christ. He was losing power in his body. Every year, more of his body was weak and powerless. But every year, he grew stronger in Christ. Philippians 4:13, this well-known passage that a lot of people quote, and it's on a lot of markers and things. I can do all things in Him, Jesus, that strengthens me. There's going to be some days when you're going to need some strength. And He can do that for you. He can guide me. We quoted this passage this morning in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And in Colossians 3:15, Christ needs to be in us. Let the peace of Christ rule, literally, arbitrate. That's what is going to make judgments from day to day. The peace of Christ is going to help me to make judgments from day to day in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What is that? The peace of Christ is what's making decisions in my life. It's guiding me. Jesus stands ready to intercede for me when I need help. So I would encourage you, brethren, to go to God in prayer through Jesus Christ on any situation that comes up. Hebrews 4:14, having then a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he can be. He can be touched. He can feel. But one that has been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. You ever have a time of need? I think those brethren down in Athens, Alabama right now probably have a time of need. Jesus can intercede for us. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore also He, Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost, literally, completely. It doesn't matter what's going to come up in your situation, He can help you with that. He's not going to cut you off short. He's going to save to the uttermost. To whatever length the problem is or the issue is, them that draw near unto God through Him, we've got to do that. Seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. And then last of all, Jesus, of course, can save me. And that's not just the non-Christian who needs to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ. This statement is made by Paul to someone who's already a Christian. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto His heavenly kingdom. That's written to a Christian who's in a Roman prison at the end of his life. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen to that. Paul extolled them. The greatness of the Lord. So they understood not. I hope we can learn this evening the importance of seeing the power of Jesus in all situations, and here we are 2,000 years later, and we can still draw on that power. No, He's not going to come down in physical form and work a miracle for us. But in His way, in heaven, at the right hand of God, through His providence, He will take care of us in our situations today. And He still has the power to do that. I love that passage. Did you not remember? Let's look back and remember what Jesus did and understand He can help us today. What a great Bible passage that is. I believe in time the apostles learned that. And they wrote about that, and they encouraged others to have faith in Christ. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. We're here to help you to be baptized into Christ. If there's someone here this evening that needs to come back to the Lord, we can help you as well. But as we go out this week, let's remember the powerful Jesus that is on our side, and really not be amazed at the great things that He can do. He's done so much. He'll continue to do those great things for us today. If we can help you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?